What's up? This is Movies On.
It is. It's Movies On Up.
Oh, yeah. Then the tagline. What's up? This is Movies On Up. Never stab the devil in the back. I am Dave, joined by my co-host, Mr. Ryan.
Always stabbing you right in the front.
Always stabbing me in the front. And we are back from last week. Our tagline for this week, never stab the devil in the back. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter @moviesonup. If you're right and we pick you, you
we
win.
We will wix you away. Prize pack.
Glorious Movies On Up prize package. This week, The Bad Batch enters theaters, and it stars a whole bunch of weird combination of people, including Mr. Keanu Reeves, who we have not had an episode on in our entire time of doing this show.
Five years, give or take.
Yeah, so we thought, hey, let's do... I just want to look up the cast real quick, because it's ridiculous.
Yeah, we kind of mentioned it last week. Jason Momoa, Jim Carrey,
Sookie Waterhouse, Jada Fink.
Yeah.
Diego Luna's in there.
Yeah.
Giovanni Ribisi is in there.
It's quite a collection.
Yeah.
Of mismatched pieces. It's like the Isle of Misfit Toys.
Written and directed by Anna Lily Amapour, mm-hmm. who did The Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. So there's some stuff that interests me about it, but then others that doesn't. But anyway, Keanu Reeves is in it somewhere. So
one of the parts that may or may not interest you, I'm not sure.
Yeah. So we're doing our favorite Keanu Reeves movies. I feel like he's always been a punchline.
Yes.
Like, I feel like Keanu Reeves has never been taken seriously. But if you look at his career, you're looking at 30-some years already. Yeah. And, I mean, he doesn't just have an occasional hit here and there. Like, he has iconic movies. I can think of at least four, like, iconic movies that even your most casual of casual movie fans would know of.
Absolutely. I am going to say at several points in this list that Keanu Reeves is not a great actor. And I don't think he is. As a matter of fact,
I am an FBI agent.
He's not yelling, I am an actor. You know what I mean? Like, nobody thought that would be a good cover for Keanu Reeves because nobody would buy it. But on one of the five movies that I have, he is god-awful in. God-awful on a historic level. That's how bad he is in this movie. But with that being said, the guy continues to get work. And that's due to one of two things. Either he's got pictures of everyone in Hollywood, or there is something about the guy that people will watch. And he's been in movies that have been huge. Like you said, iconic from either a... Well, in some instances, both a memorable standpoint and a hugely successful from a box office point of view, from a business standpoint, and you have to have some level of talent. Either you're the luckiest guy in the world, or there is something there.
Yeah.
And there's something there.
You go back to his first credit, you're looking at 1984. He did some TV until he broke into movies in 85. It's 2017. He's headlined a movie this year.
And it's getting a sequel.
Yeah, he's worked the entire time. He's not one of those that has these 10 or 5 to 8 year gaps
right.
in between stuff. He's worked the entire time. They're not all major releases, but he's made it work, and you don't stumble into that. You fade away if it's not there.
And like, he's done basically everything. I mean, he's done animated movies. He's done action. He's done horror. He's done comedy.
Family.
He's done romantic movies. Like, he's not great in all of them. He certainly has his strengths, but he is a movie star. You can talk whatever kind of shit you want about him, but at the end of the day, the man is a movie star.
Oh, yeah. Even the most casual movie fans know who Keanu Reeves is. They can probably know at least four of his movies. So... Say what you will about him, but he's Keanu Reeves. And
he is a movie star. The movies that he has been in have grossed almost $2 billion at the box office. It's 45 movies. $1.95 billion for an average of $43.5 million.
It's going to be top heavy, though, I would assume.
Yeah, because there's movies like Knock Knock made $36,000. he's got six movies that have grossed over $100 million. And then he's got quite a few that were hovering around there. So the guy is a movie star. He is a bankable movie star. He's probably never going to win. I can't even say that.
I wouldn't say probably.
I don't know. He may never win an Oscar. We'll say that.
He'll never win an Oscar.
People probably thought that about McConaughey, too. And damn it, he did, and he deserved it.
Yeah.
3-6 Mafia has an Oscar. But you can't take away the fact that he's made some really entertaining movies, and I've got quite a few on my list. I'm sure you do, too.
Yeah, I mean, I really like my five, and then I had three also-rans. So let's go ahead and get into it. Ryan, your number five most excellent Keanu Reeves movie.
My number five is from 2006, directed by Richard Linklater, starring Keanu Reeves, Winona Ryder, and Bobby Downey Jr. It's A Scanner Darkly. It may be somewhat ironic that a movie based on the written work of Philip K. Dick may be most remembered for the visual animation style imagery that Linklater chose to create the look of the movie. And it does look pretty unique. It's like a hyper-realistic cartoon. I think they just took like artists in every frame of film, they had them trace, and that's what ended up being what we see. And that may kind of distract you from an admittedly confusing plot when just the visuals are so, I guess, different. Reeves plays an undercover detective tasked to infiltrate a supply chain of this drug that has managed to get about 20% of the country addicted. It just so happens that this drug causes major brain damage and paranoia. So as our stylized Serpico goes further and further into the investigation, he becomes further and further gone from a mental standpoint, which that part suits Keanu really, really well. This may surprise some people, but I haven't read the book, but I imagine it's easier to follow than the movie is. But once you understand what's going on, and it may take a viewing or two to get to that point, I actually think it's a really good story. The problem is that it might take a couple viewings for you to get over. I don't want to call the animation a gimmick, but it's certainly unique and it's cool, but I do think it distracts from something that you need to pay attention to quite as much as this plot.
My number five, not as hard to follow, but did spawn an animated series. It is from 1989, directed by Stephen Herrick. It is Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I would say this is his breakout. He had been in River's Edge, and he'd had some exposure before, but this is really the one that kind of broke him out. It was a surprise hit. Made $40 million at the box office in 89. I love this movie. If you want to say, oh, Keanu Reeves acted really good in that movie, this is one you can point to, because I feel like this is a really good performance.
It suits him.
It suits him very, very well. He was able to let loose, and I think that's where it benefited him, is he was just able to just go out there and be goofy, and he played it perfectly. Him and Alex Winter had great chemistry, especially with George Carlin, who definitely a highlight of the movie. But, I mean, it's this chaotic, ridiculous premise plot that centers on those guys. So, I mean, there was plenty of stuff going on. I don't really feel like it was relied upon Winter and Reeves to carry this movie. Yes, it was Bill and Ted's movie, but I feel like with Billy the Kid and Socrates and Lincoln, like, there was
everything
so much
was happening around Bill
just,
and Ted.
Yes,
they were just there.
They just needed to get from point A to point right. B through the plot, and it was successful. But I think they're really good in here for what they do. They're really enjoyable, and I really, really love this movie.
It's an iconic Keanu Reeves
exactly.
character.
Exactly. When I say, like, people could name four Keanu Reeves movies on
top
of their
head. Two of
them
are Bill and Ted movies.
No, I mean, this is one of them I right. think of. Because when I say that, I think franchises. Like, mm-hmm. I think people know Bill and Ted. Even yeah. now, you're going 30 years
I was
going
to say, like, we went to Universal a couple years ago for their horror nights. They do a Bill and Ted live show that they've been doing for decades. I don't think it's the same two actors, but they basically do Bill and Ted stuff. They lampoon pop culture. And this has been a live thing that they've done every year for decades because yeah. people, and even like nowadays, people still know Bill and Ted.
Yeah. Like I said, it had a cartoon. Mm-hmm. Like, there's talk of a new one coming out. It's a great movie. It was one of those where it's like, oh, that's an idea that doesn't work. And then it does. And when you can gamble like that and make it work, people take notice.
What year was Bill and Ted?
89.
Golly. Doesn't seem like it should be that long ago, but... And I think Bill and Ted, as much as it was good for Keanu, I think it was also really bad for him. Because
it did kind of pigeonhole him.
It pigeonholed him. And then every movie he was in, you're just waiting for him to just be that character. And I think that was one of the reasons why he was so bad. And my number four, which is Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula from 1992, starring people that were amazing. Gary Oldman, Anthony Hopkins, Winona Ryder, who was decent, and then Keanu Reeves. He's not a great actor. He has his strengths, but acting is not one of them, especially acting opposite Gary Oldman.
Who's phenomenal in this movie.
Bela Lugosi, yes. Christopher Lee, yes. Iconic portrayals of Dracula. This is the one for me, though. Oh, holy shit. This movie, just to me... completely captures how, number one, terrifying I think Dracula and vampires can be, and kind of how sensual they are. This movie is a love story, but wrapped up in gothic horror. And most of it is amazing, but not Keanu. He is bad. He is unwatchably bad in this. You're just waiting for like every one of his lines, which were delivered with one of the worst, perhaps the worst accent in movie history. His London accent was god-awful, and you just wait for every line to end with dude or shaw, something like that. Like I said, it doesn't do him any favors to be acting in all of his scenes opposite Gary Oldman. Anthony Hopkins is amazing in this. That's the Van Helsing. That's the perfect depiction of that character. And as much as Oldman and Hopkins are kind of the stars of the movie, I think the unsung star of the movie is Roman Coppola and the practical effects that they did. His dad, Francis Ford, wanted to stay away from computer-generated effects because he wanted to keep modern technology out of what was essentially, you know, a gothic story. And bringing in his son to take charge of the visual effects on this film, he and his team did an outstanding job. I think the previous visual effects crew that he hired... they said there's no way you can do this stuff without doing it digitally. And Roman was able to find a way through multiple exposures, through a lot of tricks, to be able to do stuff in the camera. And I think it makes the movie, it absolutely makes the movie. It's got many of the highs as some of the Hammer movies with Christopher Lee that I liked so much growing up, but it's also able to pull off the gore that those movies could never do. I really, really like this movie. That's why it's on my list, because he's in it. He's not a big part of the movie. Big enough to, oh yeah, I remember him being in there. But this movie succeeds in spite of him. And as bad as he was in this movie, that could have ended any other actor's career. But just a couple years later, he was back in a hugely successful movie. So even as bad as he was in this, 30 years later, he's still making movies.
I love this movie. It was one of my also-rans. It didn't make my list, but I love this movie. It's a great gothic horror movie. We haven't had one like that, I don't think. There have been attempts, but I think this is a criminally underrated movie. Like I think it's...
I think now it is, yeah. I don't think in the early 90s it was underrated at all, but I think now people have just forgotten about it.
Which is a shame, because I think it's a classic horror movie. Like, I really do. I think it's a fantastically made, classic, iconic horror movie. And Gary Oldman is amazing in this movie. And it's just weird how bad Keanu is in this, because it was coming off of My Own Private Idaho, which I'm sorry if that spoils anything on your list.
No.
Which he's good in. He's acting opposite River Phoenix, who is a powerhouse in everything he's in. He's really good. And that was just a weird phase for him, because he went My Own Private Idaho with Gus Van Sant, this great director who got good work out of him. Francis Ford Coppola.
Great director.
Who couldn't get it out of him. And then to Kenneth Branagh's Much Ado About Nothing. Like, that was, we talk about getting typecast into Bill and Ted's, and then you look at that string there, and it's like, it's him trying to get away from that. Like, yeah. You see actors that get pigeonholed into that. Like Gerard Butler, who was, oh, he's the romantic comedy guy. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, I'm only doing action movies.
Right.
And you see that, where they'll try to do something to break out of that, and he tried. But he keeps coming back every few years with hits. In 1997, worked with Taylor Hackford opposite Al Pacino, another great actor, with Charlize Theron in The Devil's Advocate. I like this movie. It's another one of those that it's almost good despite him. Like, he's not Dracula bad.
He's much better in this than he is in Dracula.
He's not Dracula bad. But when your scenes are with Charlize Theron, who, this 25 years later, she's one of the best actresses still, and Al Pacino, who in 1997 was at peak Pacino, like, he gets these jobs with these fantastic actors. And if he were with lesser actors, he would not stick out as much.
Right.
And I think that's hurt him throughout his career, especially in, like, Dracula and here, where he's competent. But when you're competent against peak Pacino, it sticks out.
He's the weakest part of the movie, but it's still, like Dracula, manages to be a really good movie.
Yeah, and I mean, I would take being the weakest part of a good movie over not having a career.
Or not being in a good movie.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a Keanu movie, but Pacino makes it his movie. Pacino is really good in this movie, and it's probably a better movie 20 years later if Brad Pitt or somebody was opposite Pacino, like if somebody, a better actor, was opposite Pacino. But it's still a good movie. It's one of those, just like Dracula. Mm-hmm. If it's on, and it happens to be on like cable all the time, I'm pretty much turning it on. If nothing else, for Pacino and Theron's performances, because they're phenomenal in this movie.
This one I like a lot. It was on my Charlize Theron list. I just left it off this one because I feel like it was not too long ago we did that. And
I'd assume it was high on mine, too.
I don't remember.
I don't either. I don't listen to the show.
Yeah, well, I listen to it twice. Once when we do it, once when I edit, and that is it. I put it on my also-ran just because I do like it. Realistically, it should be on my list because it is one of my top five Keanu ones, but I moved it off so that I could talk about something that I may not ever get to talk about, and that is Howard Deutsch's The Replacements from 2000, also starring Gene Hackman and Brooke Langdon. I'm willing to admit that this might just be a guilty pleasure for me. When I mentioned that Reeves had strengths earlier and that acting wasn't one of them, I meant that there are certain types of characters that he can play. He can play surfers, and he can play former Ohio State quarterbacks. Maybe even, occasionally, a former Ohio State quarterback turned surfer. The Replacements is kind of loosely based on the 1987 NFL strike, where the owners brought in scab players just to play out the season, make some money while the pros sat out. Reeves plays a pretty likable quarterback with a pretty likable cast. Orlando Jones shows up as a pretty charismatic wide receiver that's fast, but he can't catch. Favreau is a really meek, mild-mannered, completely crazy linebacker. Reese and Vance is the Welsh kicker with a gambling problem. I thought the team was kind of fun. The movie was kind of fun. It is pretty predictable in that you start a movie about this professional league where everyone's on strike, and then slowly players start to come back to inevitably the last game of the season where, I don't know, whatever their team was, the Sentinels or whatever the hell, they had to win to make the playoffs. And of course, the team they're playing, Dallas, their entire team crosses the picket line. So they've got all their players. You've got the replacement players, and
Shane Falco
gets benched for the all-pro quarterback from the Sentinels, who, or whatever their team, I don't know what it is.
It was Washington, I believe.
Well, yeah, probably. Who decides to come back because the team's doing well, and he wants to kind of share in the glory there. He may not be believable as a 16th century English lawyer, but he looks the part of a quarterback. He looks athletic when he's on the field. And to me, as a sports fan, that is just as important to me in a sports movie, is your actual ability to act. It's your ability to look like you belong on the football field. I really like Tom Cruise. In All the Right Moves, he looks like he's never even seen a football game before.
Wesley's jumper in,
oh God,
White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah.
That takes me out of a sports movie so much, is if you don't look like you should be there.
Right, but when you do, I think it's
it
amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie Sheen absolutely looks like a pitcher.
Rob Brown looked good on a court. Ray Allen looked like he knew what he was doing.
Looks like he's played a game or two before, yeah.
But yeah.
He's got game.
Yeah.
Don't know if you knew that.
He did. had game in Cleveland a couple years ago. My number three comes from 2005, directed by Francis Lawrence. We talk about how he's done everything. He's done comedy. He's done romantic movies. He's done action. He's done a comic book movie. 2005's Constantine, where he was terribly miscast as John Constantine. But this movie is really, really good. This was in the era of standalone comic book movies where
there was no universe.
There was nothing. Horribly miscast. John Constantine was based on Sting. He's a British blonde dude that smokes all the time. Keanu Reeves thankfully did not try a British accent this time.
I think he learned his lesson.
Yeah, but it's a really fun movie. This is another one I'll watch every time it's on, and I think that's a theme with Keanu Reeves. Like, maybe he's not this great movie star, but when he's in a movie you like, it's fun to watch. This is another one, though, where he's supposed to carry the movie because he is John Constantine in a movie named Constantine. But Rachel Weisz is really good. Shia LaBeouf, Shia LaBeouf was like Shia LaBeouf, really great in the comic relief. Gavin Rossdale from Bush, actually pretty good. Tilda Swinton steals every scene she's in. And then Peter Stormare as Satan. Jaimin Hansu is really good in this too. Pruitt Taylor Vince. Like, everybody's good in this movie. Without a but. There's no exception in this. Generally a Keanu movie, it's like, oh, everybody's really good. And Keanu's in it too.
But Keanu's in it. No, he's good. He's fine.
Good enough in this movie. Like, for the character, for what he does, there's not this wide range. And he's out of his wheelhouse in the surfer role because Constantine's not like a surfer, but he's just on the edge of it to where Keanu's still really good in this. And it's also from the era where you didn't get a lot of superhero sequels. So,
right. Which is unfortunate.
Which is a shame.
This should have got a sequel.
I would watch the hell out of a Constantine 2.
Mm-hmm. That was an also-ran for me. I'm glad you mentioned it because I did want to say how much I enjoyed it in an era where superhero movies were not getting sequels and they weren't as absurdly popular as they are now. That was, I think, a success in that it was good, if not a giant success at the box office. My number two, I would say, is a success at the box office, and it is one of the, at least I think, one of the iconic roles for Keanu, and I don't think it's one of his stronger characters. You know, like Bill and Ted, iconic role. You know exactly what the look, what the sound is.
John Draven.
Exactly. My number two is John DeBond's Speed from 1994, starring Keanu Reeves, Dennis Hopper, and Sandy Bullock. We've been doing the show for 5 years. I don't know if we've ever talked about Speed on this podcast before. It's kind of a shame because it is a great movie. As far as popcorn action flicks go, it might be one of the best. Reeves and Bullock are really good in this, and I would argue that it legit made actual living, breathing movie stars out of both of them. Dennis Hopper is a great villain, somewhere between Simon Peter Gruber and General Hummel from The Rock. The premise is pretty interesting as well. By having the bus not be able to go under 50 miles an hour, you essentially have a 90-minute car chase that you can intercut with all the fun of an FBI manhunt. DeBont knows how to make an action movie. He was the DP for Die Hard, Jewel of the Nile, Lethal Weapon 3. This is his directorial debut, and I think he made a fantastic action movie.
It's all downhill from there.
I would say he followed it up with a pretty solid effort his next time around, was Twister, another good action movie. Add in some script reworking on Speed from Joss Whedon, and I think you have all the ingredients for a really successful, really fun mainstream action movie.
You mentioned Gruber, Hans Gruber, that kind of iconic-ish villain, which pop quiz, hot shot, like,
right.
That's the thing. Keanu, I think, was a movie star already, but this, I think Sandra Bullock, this is Sandra Bullock's
right.
movie, I think, like, as good as Hopper and Reeves are, I think this is what gave us Sandra Bullock.
Without question, yes, this is what made her
one of the biggest female movie stars.
I mean, who was in the sequel?
Sandy Bullock and Jason Patrick.
Which is not like a necessarily a good mark on her career, but if you can have either Keanu or Sandra Bullock, they made the right choice, I guess.
When I say four iconic movies, like, this is one of them that
this
I think.
One this and my one, number one.
This one and my number two is also part of one of those franchises, because in his four iconic movies. A couple of them are
there
franchises.
There are a couple franchises, yes.
And one of them had a sequel from 1991 directed by Peter Hewitt. It is Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. As much as I love Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, it was number 5 on this list, and Bogus Journey is 2. We talked about with Bill and Ted, you take an idea that's like, oh, that doesn't work. That's just dumb. But you take a risk with it, and it hits, and people remember it. You easily could have done Bill and Ted 2. They have to do a presentation for college, and they just go back and get different people from history. You could remake the movie with different historical figures, and you have yourself a guaranteed hit. But they sure as hell did not do that. I always reference Gremlins 2 as like the sequel. When I say you Gremlins 2 to sequel, like that, you went somewhere completely different. And you went from these two high school kids that were just time traveling for the sake of grabbing historical figures just so they can pass high school and save the world, to just bonkers sequel. You have them in hell, you have them in heaven, you have evil robot versions, you have the robot versions they make, you have aliens, you have the prince. Like, this movie, it's bonkers. You have them travel with Death, who was William Sadler. It's a ridiculous, absolutely insane nutball of a movie. And I think it worked. Obviously, I think most people go to Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure because that's what they know.
Right.
And that's the easier one to describe. Like, oh, these two dudes go back in time to do a history report. Two doesn't sum up as well, as easily. Like, oh, yeah, they die and they play board games with Death to get up into it. It's nuts. Like, it's off the rails. It's insane. It's bonkers. And I love it for it.
I think we've danced around the number one enough. To me, it's when you think of Keanu, it's at least in my opinion, it's the first movie that comes to mind. It is The Matrix from 1999, directed by the Wachowskis, starring Keanu Reeves, Larry Fishburne, Carrie Ann Moss. Honestly, I don't really like The Matrix that much. And I think that Speed is a more enjoyable movie than The Matrix. But The Matrix gets the top spot because while Speed was very successful, I don't think that it changed the way movies were made. The Matrix did that. It was one of the first movies that I can remember that when it came out, there wasn't just one of them. This was to be a franchise. This was to be a trilogy, which I think,
better or for worse.
Right, was actually to the detriment of the last two movies because they were just full steam ahead no matter what. You know, nowadays, everything that comes out, like, they almost don't make a movie unless it can have room for a sequel, which I think is to the detriment of a lot of movies nowadays. But the Wachowskis pulled off what I think is something that was unique and still is and special with The Matrix. To this day, they are fantastic world builders. But in here, they managed to integrate kind of a simple but thought-provoking plot at the same time while sprinkling in more than a few bullets. They weren't the first directors to use the bullet time mechanic, but they were the first ones to really make it shine in the U.S., and everybody used it.
Just like Apple wasn't the first to make a smartphone.
Right.
But
but when you think of smartphone, people don't think of John Woo when they think of bullet time. They think of the Wachowskis, and that's fine. I think the Wachowskis, especially nowadays, take a lot of crap for making
some crap movies.
Really expensive crap, and they do. But I will give them credit to this day that they're always trying some really concept stuff. With the occasional, Speed Racer is not their own original idea, but they tried something with that. They tried something with Cloud Atlas, with Jupiter Ascending. Maybe they were good, maybe they were bad, but they're always trying for something unique.
Yeah, I don't like The Matrix.
I don't either.
I don't like it.
I mean, I like it.
I don't like the Wachowskis, but I'm glad they exist because they are what filmmakers should shoot to be because of exactly what you said. Like, they came out with The Matrix, this original idea, and had a massive hit with it. Since then, it's been nothing but risks. Cloud Atlas is, Speed Racer was probably their safest one.
Right.
But they were ambitious with how they'd made it. And it's a terrible movie, but it's something beautiful to watch. Like, it's fantastic.
And all their movies are that.
Yes. Cloud Atlas was super ambitious what it was trying to do. Jupiter Ascending, I want original sci-fi movies. Mm-hmm. So it bums me out that their movies are typically failures, because when you give these filmmakers an original, I call it Your Highness theory. Danny McBride given this opportunity to just make this ridiculous movie, that's great, because we need more people doing original stuff like that. But when it bombs, that hurts everybody, because that means the next
Nobody wants to try anything that's not a comic book or a young adult novel.
Yeah, that's where Jupiter Ascending, it's a bad movie, but it being as bad and it failing hurts everybody. With Valerian coming out, like, Luc Besson at least has that track record to where he can, he'll survive it.
And it's based off something else.
Oh, yeah, So, I mean, like, Fifth Element wasn't.
Yes,
so,
right.
I like that they're still getting their chances. And this is going to be a weird comparison, but I think it makes sense in my head. Is they're very Shyamalan-ish, where you just know that's there. You know there's good filmmaking in them. You know that they have this potential, that if you just keep giving them cracks, they're going to hit again. So as much as I don't like the Wachowskis' career, minus producing V for Vendetta, pretty much, I am interested any time they get.
I mean, supposedly,
even Sense8.
I was going to say, I haven't watched Sense8, but people seem to like that.
Just got canceled, but yeah. It's different. So, I mean, they're out there taking chances, and I like it because I feel like they're going to have another chance that hits. And as much as Your Highness failing or Jupiter Ascending failing hurts other people, they're going to have that other hit that helps more people than they've hurt.
Because when you're betting on, and that's if you invest in a movie, that's what you're doing. You're betting that the movie is going to give you a return. You're betting on these two doing something that you've already seen them do before. You know what I mean? Like, The Matrix was their second feature.
Yeah.
And they crushed it. And the other two, I don't think were as good, and I don't even love The Matrix, but they made money. Like, that was a successful franchise that you know is in them, like Shyamalan. So you're just betting that eventually.
And Shyamalan was garbage for the last decade and a half.
Yeah.
I loved Split.
Went back to his roots.
Like,
and,
so. Yeah. But my number one, I mentioned like four iconic roles. I think when people think Keanu Reeves, you're going to have The Matrix, obviously.
Right.
Speed.
Yeah.
Bill and Ted. Mm-hmm. And I think John Wick has embedded himself to where that.
Certainly now.
Yeah. I think that is his latest. But to me, if aliens come down and say, we've been reading about Keanu Reeves, show us the
essence of
the
Keanu
essence
Reeves?
Of Keanu Reeves. Sum up Keanu Reeves perfectly. I am going to show them what is far and away my favorite Keanu Reeves movie. And if you've ever heard me talk in person on this podcast, you've ever seen my name written, you will know that my number one Keanu Reeves movie is from 1991, directed by Catherine Bigelow, Johnny Utah, Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze, Gary Busey, Lori Petty, Flea, and Anthony Kiedis. Point Break. I think this is perfect Keanu Reeves.
It combines everything he does well.
Yes.
Quarterbacking,
surfing, and trying to be an action star. And it nails him. And this is another one. Like, this is a movie to where on paper, other than Catherine Bigelow, who is one of the best directors of the past 25 years or so, but at this point it was early, so we didn't know that about her yet. Everything on paper looks bad about this movie. Busey is a punchline. Lori Petty is a punchline. Patrick Swayze was the only good thing going.
Right.
Which, if you go back time capsule to 91, now that sounds silly because Patrick Swayze became a punchline. But this is
Swayze at his Swayziest.
This is Ghost, Dirty Dancing, Roadhouse. Right. So he's on the way to becoming a punchline, but not there yet. And it's about bank robbing surfers that wear president masks. Everything about this is ridiculous. Everything about this screams, who would watch? There's nothing appealing about this, but it's a damn fun time. The relationship between Bodie and Utah, where we talk about Keanu getting like out-acted. Like, this is a perfect scenario for him because he's not getting outshined by Pacino. He's not getting blown out of the water by Oldman or being out-charmed by Sandy Bullock. This is a level playing field.
When he's acting terribly, he's acting terribly opposite Gary Busey.
And Patrick Swayze and just Lori Petty. Yeah. It works. Like, this is everybody. You don't have the poor kid eating dinner with the rich kid. These are all the middle class kids eating dinner together. So nobody's eyeing each other's plate, wishing they had what was on there. So, like, it all levels out. It's beautifully directed. It's beautifully paced. Like, it's a ridiculous, silly movie. But if you look at the pacing of this movie and the course of events and the arc that each character has and that each relationship has, because Keanu's the center of this movie. And this is the one movie where, yeah, he was a center of Constantine, but everybody else was so good that it kind of lifted the movie up. He does carry this movie. Like, he doesn't rely on everybody else to carry this movie because his relationship with Swayze, their chemistry is great. The relationship with Busey, their chemistry is great. Even with Lori Petty, that chemistry is great. Like, him and Busey bouncing off of McKinley, that's great. He delivers in this movie. And it's more than just Bill and Ted's where he's just letting it loose. Like, he's trying his best in this movie. And it works. For the character he's playing, he nails it. Busey nails it. Swayze, everything comes together in this shit show that should be a shit stain. It's a perfect storm of everything coming together and just fitting, every piece fitting into place. And it's just, I don't love this movie ironically. I fucking love this movie so much.
It's like if you had to enter an art competition and you were given a box of crayons, a box of 100 crayons, and you only had 6 of them left in there because everybody took all the other ones and they were like the weird shades of brown and yellowish green. And somehow you were to make something that actually looked like it belonged in that art competition. That's what Catherine Bigelow did with this.
You're on the expansion team in the NBA. They have the first 2 rounds of the draft, and then they give you 15 picks from everybody else left, and you make the 8th seed of the playoffs. That's what this is.
It's not the best.
It should never have happened. But damn it, you're there, and you earned it. I love this movie so much.
That does not surprise me at all. The only also-ran that I have on my list that we didn't talk about was John Wick.
I left it off because I thought you'd have it on there. But I don't know what I would have put it above, honestly. Like, I liked it, but I don't...
I liked it. I like it a lot.
I don't like it more than any of my 5.
I do.
I probably would have maybe dropped off Bill and Ted. Just the first excellent adventure.
Right, yeah. I think it's a really good movie. I haven't seen the second one yet. I really, really like it. I think Keanu plays it perfectly in that movie. Just because it's relatively new, I didn't want to put it on there because I think, you know, all right, people probably get John Wick at this point. And I would have not been able to talk about The Replacements, which, like I said, maybe it's a guilty pleasure. But, hey, man, when they're all singing Gloria Gaynor at the end of the movie, how can you not love that?
The only also-ran that didn't make your list, because I had 3 also-rans. One was John Wick and Dracula. Street Kings from 2008, directed by David Ayer. Ayer's good for these gritty crime movies, and this is another one of those that it's a competent movie, but not because of Keanu. Like, he's the center of it, but Forrest Whitaker, Hugh Laurie, Chris Evans, Cedric the Entertainer, Jay Moore, Terry Crews, Naomi Harris, Common, the games in it. It's a good crime, like dirty cop movie. And this is when I didn't like Chris Evans. This was before Chris Evans invented the McAvoy turn. but like, I remember be crushed when he died in this movie. Spoiler alert. Like, he's so damn charming and likable in this movie that it crushed me when he died. It's a good movie, but it's one of those that it's David Ayer's direction because this is what Ayer does great. And, you know, Forrest Whitaker and that supporting cast picking everything up and Keanu just getting it from point A to point B. But yeah, that was all of my also-rans. Next week we'll be back with The House Comes Out, starring Mancuskas, Ferrell, and Poehler.
In that order.
Yeah. So we did our favorite gambling movies. I'm excited for that one. That list was fun to do.
Yeah. This one was fun to do, too, in fairness.
This one's real fun, yeah. Like, sometimes
he's not a great actor, but I like a lot of his movies.
I love the 5 movies I did. Yeah. sometimes actors, it's a weird ride to take because sometimes you're surprised like how much you like of them. Sometimes you're surprised how little you like of them.
He might be. Not that he's as good of an actor as Wahlberg, but I think that looking at the filmography of Mark Wahlberg, there's a lot of movies of his that I like.
Yeah.
I think Keanu's the same way. One of them's a good actor. The other's Keanu Reeves.
With Keanu, I wouldn't say he makes a lot of good movies, but the ones he's in that I like, I really, really like.
Yeah.
Of the actor lists we've done, like, I can't think of one off the top of my head that I love the five movies as much as I love these. Because sometimes I'm, like, reaching for them.
Yeah.
Like, I love all five of these movies.
Yeah,
it's
no problem.
It's not just like, oh, I had to pick five Keanu
Reeves
movies.
And even the also-rans. Like, you know, if I'd had
John Wick.
Bill and Ted, The Devil's Advocate, John Wick, and Constantine on there.
Yeah.
I'd have been fine with that.
Yeah. I mean, even like My Own Private Idaho and stuff like that. Like, I could have reached and probably done 10 without going too far. But next week, we'll be back with our favorite gambling movies. And then one of my favorite episodes is our halftime show the week after that. And then,
always a sure bet.
Yeah. And then the second half of the year, we're trying some different stuff.
It's either going to go well or it's not.
Yeah. So stay tuned. But until next week,
keep it up.